Welcome to the Heart of Dating podcast. Hey, it's Kate. I'm so glad you could join us this week as we try to untangle the ever so ambiguous world of dating as a Christian. Over here on Heart of Dating, we get real as we answer some tough questions and uncover transformative ways to approach Christian dating. Oh, and you better believe we have some laughs along the way, because last time I checked, the struggle is hashtag real. You know what I'm saying? Now, let's get to the heart of the matter. Hey, lovely people. Today, I am pumped to be bringing you some extra bonus material with new mini-sodes. Woo-woo! Happy dance! These are going to be smaller pieces of content featuring real-life conversations on pointed topics, couples sharing their stories, and so much more. It's also going to just be a place for us to laugh a lot and bring you extra dose of bite-sized dating motivation, okay? We don't want you to feel alone on this dating journey. So today on the first Heart of Dating mini-sode, I'm excited to introduce you to two of my closest girlfriends here in Los Angeles, Kristen Perino and Allie Matroni. Kristen is in her late 20s, and she is a fierce fashion PR girl who also authors the book Selfie to Selfless. It's one of my favorite reads, you guys. It is so easy to navigate and is super inspiring. Y'all must check it out. You can buy it online at selfietoselfless.com and also on Instagram at selfietoselfless. Then my girlfriend Allie, she is a leader in whatever she puts her mind to, and she is constantly starting new incredible businesses or mentoring others to do the same. She always inspires me and encourages me so much. She also has a highly successful career at the medical tech company Stryker, so she is just overall an awesome brainiac. Today we are bringing you Christian Girl Talk. Guys, have you ever wondered what us ladies really talk about when it comes to dating? Or ladies, do you need some extra encouragement, or do you just want to laugh a bit? Well, I promise you this conversation will do just that. Don't worry, we will also be having some Christian guy talk on the podcast here soon. I am so excited to be bringing you even more content. I hope you enjoy this fun convo today with the ladies. Kristen, get closer to the mic.
Ooh, of course. This is like the most action I've had in a long time.
Oh my gosh. Yes, you just said that. And we are live, ladies. Oh my gosh. There we go. Yay. Perfect way to jump off this episode. I couldn't be more excited to have you both today on the Heart of Dating podcast. You are two of my closest friends here in LA, and I respect both of you so immensely, which is why I couldn't love this more right now, because we are here all together, but just recording our conversation. How fun is that?
Yeah,
super fun. Very fun. I hope everyone else is ready for all this
fun. Are you ready?
Fun,
no nervousness.
Yes.
So what makes this so cool, girls, is because we have these kinds of conversations all the time, right? It's just off the book. So today we've decided to record it for everyone else to hear, which I find is so exciting. What do you think?
Yes, it's like the girls' locker room.
It is, minus the wine.
Yes. We are drinking coffee. Bulletproof. Kind of like my heart.
I'm just kidding.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh.
Here we go.
Kate, what'd you put in this coffee?
I'm bulletproof. Nothing totally. To lose.
What is it, LaRue?
Kate plunging aside.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, clearly. The Heart of Dating turned into a band now. Okay, we're going to keep it light and loving and real today. And we're going to be really respectful, too, because what I want to say first is that we love our brothers. And we really do. So today is not about placing blame on them or bad-mouthing them in any way. In fact, a lot of our girl combos we talk about how we're in the wrong a lot, right, ladies? So today we're just going to get real and talk about the good, bad, the ugly, funny times, things like that. So I kind of want to, yes, I want to start off on a bang. We are all Christian women here, and we've all had quite a few dating experiences. I'm going to just throw that out there. Am I right? Or am I right?
Okay. Yeah. I've had a few.
One or two, you know, maybe?
Yeah, totally. As I'm about to turn 30 this year, yeah, yes. I have a few experiences.
Just in the last year.
Did you say you know, few or a fear of experience?
Both.
Maybe. You know, at this point, you know, God give me strength.
Yeah, please. Okay, so if we're being really honest here, I want to ask, have any of you gals ever had some weird pickup lines? Ever? From guys in the church, especially?
You know, it's funny that you asked this, Kate, because I actually pray for more pickup lines at the church, because I have found that men, I love our brothers, but they are just, nobody is like hitting on girls or talking to girls or pursuing them really in that romantic sense. It's kind of like they all just awkwardly kind of stare ish a little bit, like, you know, like out of maybe like potential interest. Yeah, during worship.
Yeah. All, like, how high are your hands during worship?
Exactly. You know, I heard a pastor say, he's like, you know, all these women out here, they have their left hand raised specifically just to show everybody that there's not a ring on it. So you best believe that actually today I was totally guilty of this. I believe, exactly. I was praising Jesus with specifically my left hand up to show everybody that, yes, you can't approach me with a terrible pickup line. This I have no ring on my finger.
Of freedom.
Finger of freedom. Yeah, so bring on the terrible pickup lines because I think the church needs some more, to be honest.
What would be your favorite pickup line to get?
I don't know, you guys. My favorite pickup line.
I have one.
Okay, please.
No, this is actually a dream. So dream if any men line, listening, yes. Yes, totally. I have a dream that when I finish worship one day, closing my eyes and whatever, that a godly, amazing, studly man, in whatever form that may be, would walk over to me and say, "You just look so beautiful while you're worshiping. Can I take you out?" And I would say, "Absolutely yes."
Yes.
Absolutely yes.
Yes.
But that, you know, hasn't happened.
Failed to happen.
Yes, it's okay though.
If anyone is listening, we go to Vintage Church in Santa Monica. So go look for Kristen.
Likely be 11 o'clock.
11 a.m. Her 11 a.m. left hand in the air. Can't miss her.
With a baseball cap on.
Yeah, most likely.
Yeah, that's a fun dream. I personally haven't had any awkward pickup lines in my Christian communities, but what I get a lot is guy friends who will ask me to grab lunch or coffee or dinner or whatever, and I'm expecting it to just be friends. And then they like ninja a date out of it.
Oh my
God. And don't communicate with me and don't tell me that it's a date and don't tell me their intentions. And then later on, I find out in like 2 weeks that we're talking or we've been on dates or whatever. And I was oblivious the whole time.
You're like, wait, I thought you were my friend. We were just hanging out.
I paid for half all the meals and all the things. I didn't think any of those were dates.
Yeah. Mm. And people come up in your community and they're like, how's it going with
so
and so? And you're like, it's fine.
It's great. Friends together. Yeah. It's like really friendly.
But meanwhile, yeah. And you're like sweating in front of them. And meanwhile, in his mind, it's a date this whole time.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. I've had that too, where you're like, oh, I thought this was a business meeting.
Yeah, no,
you know, like where we're like connecting, we're networking. Cause like Allie, you and I do this a lot, like being entrepreneur in different ways. And you have lots of meetings, like networking with people. And then all of a sudden later you're like, oh, I think that person thought that was a date, but I totally had the intention of this being a business meeting.
Yeah.
And then they're paying, which is very generous, but I didn't expect that. And then they're like asking me to hang out again, but like now it's like more a date. And I'm like, wait, I didn't even think this was a date.
And it feels, I mean, in situations I've been in like that, it feels a little offensive because I'm like, you had an ulterior motive that whole time. I thought you just wanted to meet to chat about this thing or this business opportunity. And I feel a little like slighted by it, honestly, if someone's not pretty clear about their intentions initially.
Right. And it's also, it's tough too because I don't want to build upon a relationship with somebody that it was kind of ninja style, so to speak, kind of like oddly tricking me into like hanging out with them. To me, that's not even, I mean, there's a very fine line. Sometimes it is genuine friendship, which you can build upon on both parties when both people know that it's a genuine friendship. And then at the same time, it could blossom into something else. But when one person is acting out in pursuit of like a romantic relationship without ever
communicating
that or acknowledging that, you do feel a little tricked and you're like, wait a second, I don't actually even want to hang out with a guy that is kind of fooling me into thinking that this is something greater, you know?
And the thing is, I think we can probably admit there's nothing sexier to me, at least, than a man admitting his intentions and showing his true intentional desire to take you on a date.
Yes.
I think women are afraid of this too. Like a lot, like we can also ask guys out on dates and we don't really do that often, you know? Yeah. So we can empower ourselves to do that. But I think a lot of guys are afraid of asking a girl out in the community because they're like, for XYZ reasons, it's a whole different podcast episode talking about dating and community. But because of that, they're like, well, how can I just like slide my way on in there? Maybe I'll just ask them to coffee to talk about this one thing and I'll assume it's a date. But they're not communicating their intention. Mm-hmm. If someone was like, hey, Kate, you know, I think I really admire your heart for the Lord. I've really enjoyed being your friend. And I'd really like to take you out for an intentional coffee date. I'd be like, oh, that would impress me a lot.
Yeah. I've had somebody just straight up ask, say, from my community, and we built a friendship, and it was kind of teetering on the side of romance. And he just straight up said, "Hey, Kristen, what are you doing Friday? I would love to take you on a date." And it was actually sad how much that impacted me, that I was so happy that somebody did that, because it was so rare.
Yeah.
You know, and I realized in that moment, I knew that Friday what the intentions were. I got excited. I got, you know, you get a little bit more dressed up, as does he. And it's like, just, you know what you're getting yourself into a little bit more.
I think part of it too is, I'll speak for myself here, but I think it probably applies to you guys as well. I think a lot of people in our generation are like scared of vulnerability and we've all been burned, and, you know, we're all sitting here not married in our, you know, 20s and 30s. And like, so if you don't know someone's intentions, it's hard to figure out how much of your heart to put into something. Yeah. And so you just don't then, right? Yes. Like, you're friends with someone, even if you have a thought of, oh, maybe this could be more, maybe this is a person that God's calling me to partner with, you know, this could be something really beautiful for the kingdom. Unless he makes those intentions clear, it's hard for you to even like go there emotionally, because you don't want to get hurt.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, totally. And it's, and we live in the land of the non-committal, right? It's so hard for people to commit to anything.
Los Angeles,
yes. And all other parts of the world, but LA is pretty bad.
But yeah, especially with like the millennial crowd too, it's like we don't – sometimes it's a lot easier to just keep it very vague, you know, because you're sneaking out of that any sort of like commitment. And I speak from – personal experience with that, because I've also done it. It's not just guys that have done that to me. Yeah. I personally have thrived in non-committal situations where I'm like, oh, I just, you know, play cool and flighty and, you know, keep it light and whatever. My name is Kristen, and I've committed this offense many
times.
I'm sorry
to all the men out there.
Yes, totally. I personally apologize. But it is – sometimes it can be borderline hurtful.
Yeah. Definitely.
It's true. So I think we would all – we would all agree that someone stating their intentions would be really attractive to us. So other than being on a date that you didn't know that was a date, have you ever been on any bad dates? And why, if you have, why was it so bad?
I actually have a story.
Yes,
you can like see my face.
I'm like, I see it.
Kick
right
us off,
there.
Girl.
All right. So I don't, Kate, you may know this. You definitely have not heard this. So last year I got set up with this guy, and he came really highly recommended and really was a nice guy.
Five star rating.
Story.
10 out of 10, maybe would not recommend based on the story. But so we went out on a first date, just like grabbed coffee, walk around Santa Monica, really fun to get to know him. He dove really deep into spiritual questions on the first date, and it was the first time we met. So it felt a little intense for me. Like I kind of felt like he was judging my spirituality to see if he should ask me on a second date, which I know where I'm at with God, and I don't need someone to like judge that to decide whether I'm a good fit for a wife or not
on the first
date. So on like a casual coffee date,
right
so he asked me out again, asked me to dinner, and so we sit down, and we went to dinner at 5 p.m or 4:30 p.m,
which is a weird time, because it's like, oh, I clearly have plans after this,
right?
4:30 p.m. is like,
that's what I assumed.
Right.
This is the night of the Oscars last year, so we go to this restaurant, we sit down, we do dinner. Like, 30 minutes into dinner, I'm like, okay, I'm not feeling this. Also, what, like, least romantic thing ever to go to dinner at 4:30 p.m. at an order-at-the-counter restaurant.
I think that's what
if he was going to make any romance happen, it was not that way.
Yes, it has nothing to do with the price. It has everything to do with the romance.
It's the audience. Yes, totally. Yeah, exactly.
The intention behind it. Again, we get back to it.
Yeah. So, anyway, so dinner kind of ends, and he goes, so what's your plan from here? And I'm like, well, it's only 6:30, you know? The Oscars are going on. My friend's having a small get together, so I'm going to go over there. And he's like, oh, that sounds fun. Can I come? And he invites himself to go to my friend's event. So I don't know what to do.
You're like,
I don't want to go out with this guy again. Yeah, I text Kate and like four other friends there, and I'm like, hey, just so you know, I'm not really claiming this guy. I don't want to go out with him again, but he's coming with me to this Oscars party because I don't know how to say no. So he comes with me to this Oscars party. And that's the year that they called La La Land on stage, and then
That was
plot twist, Moonlight actually won Best Picture.
Yeah.
Super uncomfortable. So this guy that I don't know is sitting next to me making racist comments into the ear of like all my guy friends around me.
It was so uncomfortable.
What? I was mortified. Like, he invited himself. I didn't even want to go out with him again. And now I brought this guy who's a reflection of me into a group of my friends, and he's making racist and like homophobic comments out loud. Really inappropriate in a crowd where you don't know anyone.
Yeah. And this is also the same guy that took you out for a coffee date and asked you all these spiritual questions your first date.
Exactly.
So this is the same guy that dove really deep with you spiritually.
Right.
Only to come and invite himself at your friend's house and make racial slurs and homophobic comments.
It was embarrassing for me. I had to call everyone there afterwards and apologize. It was brutal. It
speaks a lot to his character, unfortunately.
That is tough.
Not to say he's like, we're not blacklisting him, but like, come on. Like, we need to look for character traits. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a key for in dating. We need to look at someone's heart and their character above and beyond. And that is a very true reflection of his character.
We're going to pray for him.
On
the prayer list. Help me, Jesus.
Honestly, a bunch of my best friends were in the room, and you want to be with someone who makes it a point to get to know your friends and who reads the room well and who is appropriate socially. And I mean, it was just a lot of exes.
A lot of, terrible.
A lot of
terribleness.
Red flags. Well, hey, that was the end of the, no more dates
no
after
more,
that.
Sorry. Yeah, no more
after
dates.
Kristen? What about you guys? This wasn't a terrible, terrible date, but this was kind of a pet peeve of mine, which does mark, a bad date. But I am vegetarian, so I don't eat meat. And I had gone on a couple dates with this guy, and then
And he knew you were vegetarian.
He knew I was vegetarian, definitely. But he chooses this really nice restaurant in Santa Monica. So I'm like, okay, great. Like, that's really nice. Okay, yeah, let's go there. And I order whatever salad and vegetarian meal. And then he chooses. I give him the menu when the waiter asks, like, would you like something to drink? And he chooses a nice bottle of wine. And then, just kind of took care of that. And then we order our food. He orders a steak. Mm. And I ordered my salad or whatever. The bill comes at the end of the meal, and I offer to split it with him or contribute or whatever. Hands down, he says, oh, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, let's go halvesies. First of all, that's offensive. Men that's everywhere offensive. Never say halvesies at all. And then second of all, that is just so – I just thought that was super inconsiderate that like
– You're like, dude, I'm just
he
paying
chose the restaurant.
Yeah, to eat
he chose
meat right now. I don't even like meat.
Yeah, okay. and it's fine. I've told her brothers I'm not offended if somebody else wants to eat meat in front of me. That's not a big deal. But the whole point is that he clearly didn't take into consideration – like he chose the bottle of wine.
Right.
He chose the restaurant. He chose, to order his own steak.
Yeah,
like very expensive taste, and then expected me to split it with him.
It was all about him.
It was
all about
him.
You, but all about
exactly. I was just kind of like there to split the bill. It felt like, you know what I mean?
Not very considerate.
Not very considerate at all. So that was kind of a poor date. We didn't go out after that.
And I'm glad you suggested that you'd be willing to pay for it. But it's just interesting situation that he took the bait on that when you were being really kind. But he kind of – his intention was, like, taking you to all these places. He had a very specific thing in mind.
Yeah, and because I could have contributed – and I wanted to contribute and you know, or even him be like, oh, no, like, you just got the salad. I chose the bottle of wine. Like, I'll cover it. Like, I'd be more than happy to take us out for drinks afterwards or, like, something next time, you know?
Yeah.
But the fact is –
Yeah, it's just the consideration.
Yeah.
I think also women, we do this often. And I'm not saying all of us here, but I think oftentimes I hear stories of guys who are like, I do take girls out and I have the intention of paying. But I think women – I've heard a lot that women aren't as considerate towards the men, where they order like the most expensive thing on the menu, more than one thing on the menu, and like probably the most expensive drink. And it's like, we definitely have to check ourselves too.
Yeah.
So we apologize to all the men out there if that's happened, because it's not about that.
Well, and especially because of how dating is so different now than it was 20 years ago, where there might be like 3 viable women in your town that you know that you like want to go out with or whatever. Like, probably longer than 20 years ago. But
seriously.
The progression of dating over time. And now we have access to so many people via dating apps, via
social
our
media.
Communities. Mm-hmm. Like, there's all these like community type programs now, at least in Los Angeles, where we're all involved and know a million people. So really, you could go out with someone new every night of the week, and that bill gets super expensive if a guy
having
to rent that the whole time.
Something I heard recently, which I was really excited about, is on a first date, it doesn't always have to be dinner either. If it's a friend that you've known for a while, yes, okay, you can take them to dinner. But if it's someone, you just take them on an intentional coffee date to start. Like, it doesn't have to be a super high investment. You guys both get to know each other. Start it out to see if you even have any sort of maybe connection there that could be more than friends. It also helps too. I don't know, ladies, you tell me, but not having alcohol sometimes really helps, right?
Yeah.
Or like
absolutely.
One drink limit or something.
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah. I went through a season last year, the year before, where I was going on a ton of first dates. Mm. And all these first dates, were over drinks. And I found myself like, well, all these are pretty fun. You know, it's like, yeah, well, you've had two glasses of wine, all of them. Of course, they're all fun.
Yeah.
So then I instituted a rule of like, okay, one drink on first dates, because you really need to get to know the person that you're going out with and see whether you actually want to go out with them again or whether it was just fun because you can talk to a brick wall and it could be fun with anyone. Yeah. You know,
oh, like I could have a blast with anyone.
Yeah. And then I found myself at a low point too, because Allie, I've gone through many seasons like that. And actually, if I have too many drinks, I don't remember some of the things that we talked about. And actually, God has a really funny sense of humor, because he let me get to a very low place where there had been a couple like second or third dates, and I would re-ask some of the same questions that I had asked like towards the end of that first date,
and
where I drank
too much.
Probably
not even that you're like, which is drunk per se.
But exactly.
You talk about a lot of things.
Yes, you talk about a lot of things, and alcohol just makes your brain cloudy.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I can definitely hear that.
It just doesn't help, and especially if we're all serious in truly finding our soulmate and who God has for us. You know, that's not necessarily the best building blocks for stability for the rest of your life. You know, if we're all trying to build our homes on solid ground, that's not the best combination. I mean, I'm preaching to myself here, because I have not, you know, been flawless at all of this. But, you know, it's just something to keep in mind and something to be conscious of, you know.
And we should also be intentional back with that time on the date of like, okay, limiting the amount of drinking or being really focused when I'm there with the person. Mm-hmm. I think another mistake I've made is having first dates or second dates, especially the first date, being like epically long. And I think I know for that. Know. Little
Kate thing. Disappears for days at a time.
I'm like, where are you? 7 hours later.
She's Kate's still gone. On a date with that guy. It's been 3 days.
We'll hear from her Tuesday.
I've gotten much better at that, you guys. Thank you.
Yes,
thank
you. You have.
But it's true. Like, you got to keep the mystery there a little bit. And you don't want to dive too deep on the first or second date with someone. You're there to like get to know them and the beginnings of their heart. You're not there to learn and dive into all the deep places with them, especially not in the beginning, because that can actually create some false intimacy. And I definitely experienced that personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. I've been there before. Yeah.
So I have a question. Have you guys ever challenged yourself to go out with a guy you would have not normally been interested in?
Yeah, we were talking before we started about types and about how when we were younger, probably all of us had like, oh, that type of guy's my type. Mm-hmm. And then the older you get and the more people you meet, I think you learn there are some really amazing people who are not necessarily your type, whether that's physically or in the career path that you would desire someone to be on or whatever. So yeah, I think getting older has been one big long process of spending time with people that maybe I wouldn't have picked for myself 5 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And looking at my pretty long dating roster now, there's not any sense of like, even physically, I guess I can honestly say I really don't even have a type, you know? I would hope it's just somebody that's like, enjoys the outdoors and like, you know, enjoys Love being Jesus. Physically fit. And that too, Kate, thank you.
Kristen, I'm keeping you accountable over here.
Thank you. Yes, somebody that loves Jesus that's going to come up to me after service when I'm worshiping and tell me that I'm the one.
Yeah,
like we spoke about earlier. You know, there's certain qualities that I have found, again, to your point, Allie, as we've gotten older and the more and more that I've actually dated, I have found out things that used to be on my list of like requirements that are no longer on my on my list of what I believe. My, you know, is best for my life or my partnership. And I've also learned a lot about myself during dating, because, and I also heard a pastor say this one time, so many women pray for their husbands. They pray, you know, for their husband to become the man that is best for them. Very few women pray to become the woman that is best for their future husband. So that does take a level of humility and humbleness I have found in my life to get to that point of, wow, I have some work to do. Like you know, I need to look at what type I am. Like where is God leading me, and who is best going to gonna fit that, you know? And as we were talking earlier too, where it's not so much physical traits anymore, but what you've found is the matter of the heart. The heart of dating, Kate.
Yes, it's the heart, the heart of dating. Thank you for looping it right on in.
Yeah, totally. You know, and looking at those qualities of, yes, a man that loves Jesus, and also a man that, you know, of integrity, and a man that I've learned this even more recently in the more recent years, that a man that serves, not only just in his community, but also just his friends.
Yeah.
And I want to find a partner too that's willing to serve others. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's so good.
Mm. I feel the same way. I kind of was on this journey a while ago where I just had a very strict view of what the man looked like in my mind. And then I realized through God really convicting me of this, that I had to test the quality of my qualifications. And I say that a lot, but like testing the quality of what your qualifications are. And now I have like a very few, like a small list of few key things. And I've discovered so much about myself, and what I thought was really important to me isn't actually. And then some things that are really important to me, yes, I do need to be aware of that. While there may be awesome guys that like maybe I've gone on a date with that probably are not for me because of their communication style and maybe would be more suited for Allie, for example.
Right? Less emojis, please. Over here. Yeah. Less emojis in chat.
More direct.
Yes. Heart eye emojis. Any man that is wanting to date Kate, you just
tons of heart eye emojis.
Heart eye emojis.
Glad everyone is aware of that. Thank you guys. Oh my gosh. We're gonna wrap up here, even though I could go on and on with you gals. And we're gonna have to, we'll just have an after party right now. But I'm super thankful for both of you ladies, just your heart and willing to share and be vulnerable. And this was fun and a lot of laughs. And anything you guys are working on right now or that you want to share with people?
Well, I actually have just recently written a book titled From Selfie to Selfless.
Boom.
Living the Life You're Created For. And I do discuss dating in there. That is one chapter. I have been a very selfish dater, and God totally called me out in that. He also called me out in many aspects of my life that I've lived very selfishly. The book isn't meant to condemn, but it's just meant to awaken, I would hope. So, yeah. Yeah, so would love to meet you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I hope that it's just conversational. Yeah, and I'm just a very ordinary girl with an extraordinary relationship with God, and God has a lot of grace. I'm living proof of that. So yes, come. I would love to hear from you.
Right?
Yes, at Selfie to Selfless.
I can't even speak anymore. Just take me off air.
Would love to hear from you and get to know you guys. So yeah, that's it.
Allie, awesome.
If you guys want to connect, I'm on Instagram at AllieMaturney.com.
And she's really funny and witty.
Not that. Don't go to that. That's an old blog. Do not go to that.
I'm going to that right now on my phone.
Take that down.
We're going to like delete it right after this. Oh my gosh. Okay. Last thing. Very, very last thing. One line. Biggest dating nugget that you have to offer people. Crickets. Crickets.
There's too many. One nugget?
I would say, do the work to figure out who you are, whether that's therapy, whether that's being in amazing community, like figuring out more of what your identity is in the Lord, like all that stuff. That's who you're bringing to the table. Mm-hmm. And that totally changes what you're looking for too. When you're not looking for like value and worth and anything from someone, you know, when you find all that in the Lord first.
So good.
And I would say enjoy your single time. Embrace this season. Even the nights when you think that you're alone and you're super sad because you're eating yet another box of Pringles and watching Netflix all by yourself. One day you will have a family and kids running around you and a husband that will be in your bed every single night. So enjoy those moments alone and enjoy that peace and quiet time alone, and that your time is yours. It's a gift.
It. Ladies, you're amazing. Love you both.
Love you, Kate. Thanks for having us.
Bye. Oh my word. Was that fun or what? So many laughs. I'm still laughing. Some major truth talk on our end, as well as a confession or two. I hope you all feel less alone on your journey of singleness. Also, men, don't fret, because we will be doing a Guys Talk episode here soon. I'm super excited about that one. If you want to catch the ladies, you can visit Kristen at Selfie to Selfless, and you can buy her epic book. You can also connect with the amazing Allie at Allie Matroni on Instagram as well. Both women are highly influential in my life, so I hope you'll connect with them. I am super pumped, friends, to be bringing you even more mini-sodes, so get excited! Also, if you support this mission, I'd love, love, love for you to hit subscribe on iTunes. Please, please, please. You can also stay up to date with show notes on heartofdating.com. And you can follow along on Instagram at heartofdating. And, you know, if you happen to know a friend or two that might need some dating help, I'd love for you to share this with them and get them to also support this. We have some amazing guests coming up in the coming weeks, and I am confident you will love it. So stick with me as we journey through this together. Until next time, friends.